Hi, this is Katie Day and welcome to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women over 50 across the globe. You don't have to be Mother Teresa to make an impact in the world. Sometimes it is the small acts and achievements that can create some of the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh. Sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing Patricia Knightley. Patricia is a program director for the Chrysalis Foundation, a not-for-profit social enterprise in the UK with a vision for changing the world of offender development and reintegration from a punishment negative reinforcement approach. Her work within the Chrysalis Foundation is aimed at reducing the levels of offending, reoffending, and other antisocial behaviour through the provision of a holistic development and rehabilitation program for offenders, those at risk of offending, and people with antisocial behavioural problems. The program itself promotes positive behaviour and awareness of the need for a lifestyle change. Patricia has over 20 years corporate experience in the telecom, mobile and computer industry and has held a high number of posts throughout her varied career, tackling many facets and challenges in learning and development, PR, market communications and course development and industry analysis. She also runs her own consultancy business focused on training, behavioural safety and awareness in the wind and marine energy sector. Patricia, it's an absolute joy to be interviewing you. Thank you so much for your time. I was really interested in the renewable part as well before we get onto Chrysalis with winds and marine energy in light of the recent Paris talks.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating industry and it's been around for a lot longer than people give it credit for.
Has it?
I've been part of it for about 4 years. I joined as to head up the training network.
Right.
And the job really was to identify gaps in the skills required in the industry. And in the last year really has been quite flat because the new government, the new approach to renewables, and actually the Paris thing is hopefully going to change some of that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of subsidies have gone from onshore and there's a lot of support for offshore, but offshore again is a very, very expensive investment. So, you know, like all businesses, you have to get something back. So it has really grown from hug a tree up to a quite a sophisticated business model. And I work for the trade association for that. And the learning development part, which kind of links back to Chrysalis, is actually looking at how we can get people trained to go into the industry because, you know, if they're offshore, then possibly they won't ever get to come back and reoffend. So that's part
of
that.
It's a very good point. I mean, with the conclusions of the Paris talks, how realistic do you think it is?
What, for them to take? I think it's going to take a lot of discussion.
You think?
I think there is. It's all very exciting, but it's still not obligatory in some areas. So we've been here before, 2020 carbon emission. Are we going to meet that? I don't think so, because and there's also a call maybe for bringing a lot of the wind, the marine, solar together as well. So I think, you know, in the next few couple of years or so, I think you'll see a great move more towards renewables.
There seems to be a more of a passion for it now, doesn't there? From other people, you know, outside the people who make the decisions, there seems to be a lot more of pressure from communities, from the general public, actually putting pressure on their governments.
However, you know, it's still a big investment. If you're going offshore, this is not a cheap option. You know, by the time you do the environmental studies, the you know, it does take a lot of investment. And so it has to be a joint thing. It has to be subsidised at some point. And I'm not really sure where that's going at the moment. And that, certainly for onshore, government is not supporting on, you know, they're supporting what's already there, but they're not going to encourage more onshore. Whereas offshore, there are some hope that they'll do.
Can we afford not to do?
I agree. I mean, I think our grandchildren or our children's children will look back on this time and say, what on earth were you doing? Why didn't you just get on with that? Well, you know, business is business and somebody has to pay. And sometimes if the consumer doesn't want to pay the bill, then they look for a cheaper option. So it's one thing or another, you know, and I'm not going to say that I know the whole spectrum of it, but it's quite a political nightmare.
I think that's an understatement. I had a great phrase the other day talking about renewable energy and sustainable energy and challenging the phrase that we are saving the planet. And it was a really, really good point. It said, we are not saving the planet, we are saving humanity, because actually the planet can look after itself. And because the planet naturally renews itself, and we think we can save the planet. Actually, it's about saving humanity, because the planet is going to survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the human beings that may not survive.
Well, the planet will just carry on.
Yeah,
you know,
just carry
Cumbria,
on regardless.
You know, with all the floods
exactly.
and things like
it's
that.
It's going to do its thing, isn't it?
It is. But I think, you know, there is a much more of a higher recognition that we need to be looking at this type of energy source, and we are, and we have, and there's been a lot of good work done, particularly through the Renewable UK Association, to which I'm part of, to promote that on behalf of the industry. It's a very caring industry, actually, surprisingly enough. You know, you've got the big six, but, you know, we're also quite a small industry. We all kind of know each other, and there's, you know, there's lots of hope for the future.
Is there lots of collaboration?
A lot more than people recognise, there is.
Okay, that's good to hear.
You know, I mean, after all, it's still people sharing with people, isn't it, really? You know?
Yeah. So tell us about the Chrysalis.
Right, well, Chrysalis, I've been involved with Chrysalis for over 8 years, and I, before I started here at Renewables, I met David about 8 years ago and got really impassioned by the reoffending fact in the UK, 75%. Of people who come out of prison reoffend, which is shocking.
It's not surprising, though, is it, really? Because they're not really given support.
Well, that's true to a certain degree. There is a lot of work that goes towards not reoffending. But when you look at some of the other countries, like Europe, it's 45%. And specifically in Norway, in a prison island called Bastøy, it's 17%.
Is it really?
I actually went to Bastøy. I was invited to Bastøy.
Gosh.
And their approach is very, very much around getting people to reintegrate back into society. So the word rehabilitation, which is often used with offenders, you know, about rehabilitating them. Well, rehabilitation was actually something that happened from the First World War when people came out of the trenches. They needed to be nursed back to health.
Right.
So they're taking them back to where they were before they went to war. I don't really want people who've gone into offending society nursed back to that point. I want them to be reintegrated, brought forward, which is really what Norway thing was very much about. They look at how they integrate that person back in. So part of that is why I'm so passionate about Chrysalis, because it does actually help those offenders take a look at themselves, take ownership, take responsibility through the program that we deliver in the prisons, and also then support them afterwards through a mentoring, coaching, which again is, you know, a passion of mine.
Right.
That kind of and it's now been supported by the big lottery, so we have an opportunity to go into a few more prisons and
Fantastic.
So on and so forth. And you know, the cost of keeping somebody in prison is somewhere in the region of £45,000 a year. We could send them to Eton for that.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. And you know, it just beggars belief.
And the chances are some offenders are going to be in prison longer than a child will be at Eton.
Absolutely.
So the cost to the taxpayer is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. And you know, when you meet these guys, you know, they want a job, they want to work, but when they come out of prison, you know, they've got a prison record,
sure.
So you know, it's difficult for them because people don't want to employ ex-offenders. Sadly, you don't know the people in your who already employed that are not ex-offenders. I don't know, but so the way we look at the offending population is, and David always explains this very well. We say 20% are bad people who do bad things. They're kind of career criminals. You know, it's part and parcel of their life. And then we have 60% that are what we call the followers. You know, out one night with their mate, you know, should we go and do this? And it's, you know, they just follow. So we call them followers. And then 20%, alas, could be either you or I, a silly instant night out, and we find ourselves in trouble. But what happens, we all end up in the same place. Gosh. So we believe that we should cut it. So we have an academy type approach where the 20% that are people that have done, you know, stuff, stupid stuff, but actually are not bad people and have just made a mistake, should not be mixed in with the career criminal or indeed the followers, could then be kind of fed into the
20%. Do you think there should be different prisons for different levels of
offenders? I think we should have an academy style prison for
interesting idea.
People. Yeah. So that's kind of one of the things that excites me. And what we found by the guys going through the program, when they come out of the program after 6 weeks, and it's a day of, you know, one day every 6 weeks, they usually at the end of it say, can I come back? Because I wasn't listening in the very beginning. And we now have, in one particular prison, 5 or 6 mentors that actually go through the prisons and talk to the other inmates and recruit people to come on the program. So it's a very, very robust model after 8 years. You know, it's
how many people have gone through it in 8 years?
I think that it's got to be in the hundreds. I'd have to look at the stats, but and I'm just about to start working there full time because I want to join my renewable experience to the Chrysalis work, be able to sort of, with my contacts in renewables, to sort of encourage companies to take young offenders that have gone through our program that we would recommend as people who really want to make that change and to give them as much support as possible.
Mm. Okay. So how does Chrysalis link with the renewable energy talk?
Well, only through me, really, because I got involved with the renewables 4 years ago simply because it was a job that came to my door and they asked if I would come along. So it's only in the last sort of few months that I'm saying, well, actually, you know, there is an opportunity to try and channel some of these young guys into some sort of role within renewables. That, because a lot of the skills gaps is around just, you know, simple things like cable laying, you know, putting stuff together, not necessarily anything too amazingly difficult, but enough to get them on the ladder to a career in as a wind technician. So that's kind of what I'm just formulating that at the moment.
Wow.
in my
brain. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So,
you know, who knew that climate... Yeah. Climate change and renewable energy could actually have a direct impact on ex-offenders. Who joined those dots up?
Hopefully the dots will get joined up by the industry. I mean, they're a workforce that could be utilised.
Oh, absolutely.
And we have to, you know, be generous to people that have perhaps strayed off the path. You have to have a non-judgmental kind of viewpoint.
That is hard, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, because people view prison as, you know, it should be a place of punishment. Back in the old days, in medieval, you know, prisons was a place where you held somebody before they went in to be sentenced. And generally speaking, it might be the blacksmith that went out one night and, you know, got drunk and, you know, so they put him in a place until he comes through the bench and then they will either, you know, do whatever the punishment was, but the punishment would be instant. Now prison is the punishment, and I don't know how you're going to punish people. You know, you have to feed them, you have to, you know, you clothe them, you have to, you know, so it's
the loss of liberty, isn't it?
It's the loss of liberty and boredom and that sort of stuff. So, but at the same time, you know, which is why I think the reintegration thing is so important, is some of these lads have probably never come across male authority, for want of a better word.
Right.
You know, they've come across some sort of discipline at long last, and some of them flourish better in prison than they do outside because they have a structure.
That's a really, really interesting point. How do you maintain that structure for them? Because if that structure then becomes so compelling, is not the almost the desire to reoffend, so they can go back to that kind of structure.
I mean, I'm not able to give you figures on that. I mean, my own personal view is that if you're in prison for a long time, coming out is going to be really difficult,
really,
because you are institutionalised to a certain extent.
Well, yeah.
So the support is really important, and also to have a non-judgmental view on people that are trying to make a change. So the Christmas program is about helping them make that change. And sometimes, you know, it's the first time that they've thought long and hard about a 20-year plan. You know, what do I want to do in my life? Where do I want to go? A lot of them will just, I mean, it's mainly young men that I've worked with. I haven't worked with women as much. But, you know, most young men are in prison for three things: it's drugs, alcohol, and fighting.
Right.
And that's the underlying cause.
Right.
And, you know, it's trying to sort of get to the bottom of that or you know, give them support, get them back to their families.
It's fantastic, the work that Chrysalis Foundation does,
mm-hmm.
but how do you balance the work that you do over the six-week programme? I mean, you're talking about the reintegration. Two things: how do you keep them away from the people who got them into trouble in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Because their family, their community. And how do you change the mindset of potential future employers who may have a very inbuilt and robust prejudice?
There are companies that very openly take young offenders, and I won't say who they are because, you know, that...
There are a few.
But there are a few, and that's something that has to be worked on. But I also think that we are living in a much more conscious society. You know, you're always going to find people that are prejudiced against stuff, and, you know, that's fine. But change is about embracing new ways of doing and thinking. So I'm confident that given the right programme, because we wouldn't recommend anybody that come to anybody. You know, the programme is 6 weeks, but then they have to do a complete assessment. And then we would always keep in touch with them. And it's not, you know, we do have people working in that were still in touch with us. So it's part of that connectivity, and also linking with other support areas like housing and so on and so forth. So it's not, I mean, it's a big job, but it's not, sometimes not very financially beneficial, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is to operate a model by which people feel that they can be supported to make that change. But the change has to start with you.
All change has to start with
you. I don't have the answer.
Sure.
You know, any of us could have gone down the wrong road. And often when I'm talking to these lads, you know, when I was 15, I could have easily gone down the wrong road. But I didn't. You know, for some unknown reason at 15, I chose to, you know, take a different path. And I left school with no qualifications, for instance.
Wow.
Yet by the age of 30, I was commissioning editor for Heinemann. So how did that happen? Well, really through night school and people supporting me and so on and so forth. So that's really why I'm quite passionate that, you know, to try and help somebody, and even if they fall, to still be able to be there to pick them up. You know, it's a human condition, isn't it?
It is a human condition, and it's the size and the context of the mistake, isn't it? Some mistakes are almost imperceptible, and some of them are catastrophic.
We all make judgments, and what we need to perhaps try and do is to hold on to those judgments so rigidly. You know, things happen, and it's, I suppose, one of the areas for Chrysalis too, and also my own personal, is to, today's today, so let's just, you know, get through this as best we can with integrity, with love and affection, and hopefully, you know, that will lead to better things for tomorrow.
I mean, when you think of, as you were saying, that, you know, the 20% that just made a mistake, or even the followers, the 60% followers, you know, if you take the 20% hardened career criminals to one side, really you are looking at the 80% of the others. It is almost as simple as a sliding doors moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
In a split second, your life can go down one path, or it can go down another, and it's as quick as that how quickly our lives can literally turn on a sixpence, which is quite scary.
And, you know, they find themselves in a prison,
yeah.
and they find themselves with lots of kind of different people, and you know, when we get the first, you know, always the first module is, the first module is called Know Thyself. And within that is that opportunity to just be understanding more about why they are where they are,
right.
And to taking responsibilities. And it's not a program for the faint-hearted. Mm-hmm. We say right up front, you're going to be bored in this program. This is going to be hard, but stay with it. And we guarantee that if you stay with it, we will stay with you and you will make that change. So it is getting that encouragement to change. You know.
How do you deal with people who may have any literacy issues?
We don't, no problem at all, because that's why we have people in the room that can sit with somebody who, you know, and a lot of prisoners actually do have literacy programs, so we obviously would work with them. But often, I mean, last week I was in prison and this lad, one of the mentors came up to me and he said, he won't let me help him. I said, oh, don't worry. So I sat next to this chap and I said, you know, so how's it going? You know, just had a conversation with him. And we found that the best way was for him to talk to me and for me to write out what it is that he said. Then he could then copy out what he'd said.
Oh.
Because he could actually, you know, it was the spelling wasn't so good.
Okay.
You know, so it's really just finding different ways to give that support.
Yeah.
So it's an exciting prospect, and I'm you know, looking forward to really getting it going next year.
That's fantastic.
Because I'm going to leave the renewable, not leaving the business, but I'm not going to be working as a full-time head of renewables anymore.
Right.
I want to, it's a new challenge as well. You know, I've been in it 4 years, so 4 years is a long time for me to stay
is
in
it?
One place.
So you have what's called a portfolio career.
Yeah, I do. The Charles Handy, Handy person.
Yeah,
because once I've cracked something, I want to kind of take the next opportunity. So,
well, that's one of the exciting things about life, isn't it? And also about living now.
Yeah.
And particularly as a woman, we have far more choices than our mothers and grandmothers ever had.
I mean, I've had people say to me, well, what about retiring? And I'll say, well, the trouble is I don't have that as a goal because I may do so permanently. But also, while I can work or I feel like I can contribute, then I will. Mm. And so that's my, you know, whilst I still enjoy it, whilst I still
Absolutely.
Can, then I will continue. And, you know, it's nice to have the money to go out and enjoy yourself.
So, of course.
You know, that's part and parcel of it as well, but it's not the main reason.
Yeah, and retirement. It's interesting.
It's a horrible word.
It's a horrible word. Somebody said to Joan Collins,
like rehabilitation's a horrible word.
Rehabilitation. Yeah, who's what? 82, right? Joan Collins.
Yeah.
And they asked her, "What's it like to be old?" She said, "I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there." Good answer.
Yeah.
Good
and
answer.
I think you said the same thing about Percy. She said, "What's it like being married to a younger man?" She said, "What does Percy think about married to an older woman?" I said, "I don't know. I think what's it like to be old?" You know, it was like. Why would that be a question?
Yeah.
So age is a real, it puts, and I always say to people, don't be defined by your age, you know. If people want to know how old, I'm happy to tell them. But the minute you tell them that you're over 50 or over 60, there's this little box that comes in and says, oh, she's not like, you know. So don't be defined by your age.
Absolutely.
Be defined by what it is that you want to do in your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't do the Christmas program and not also be looking at my own self and all the things that I want to do.
So have you learnt about yourself
as
you take people through the Chrysalis program?
Definitely.
Were you on the receiving end of the program before you delivered it? So do you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of?
I have sat in the program countless times. So
yeah,
you go through the program
every
time you deliver it, or even if you sit there and deliver it. So it's a very inspiring program, and. It is a change program. It uses things like the Enneagram, which I'm a teacher of, which is very much a personality profile system, and it also looks at, you know, some of the Edward de Bono work, thinking
hats,
lateral thinking, and a lot of people say, well, you know, we don't dumb it down either. You know, there's no dumbing down. These are corporate, high-end corporate programs that could be. I suppose what we often say is the Chrysalis program is a personal development program. We just happened to be using the young offenders.
It
could be anywhere, you know.
So, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
Unbelievably, this has gone in the blink of an eye. We're almost out of time. So can you tell us where are you, 5 years' time, where is Patricia Knightley going to be?
Probably still in with the Chrysalis program. Probably still supporting... I'll probably work a bit less.
Okay.
Probably, but involved in doing something. So.
Fantastic.
Always.
Good.
While I can, I will.
That's a really good sentence to end on. While I can, I will. Patricia, thank you so much. It's been a real joy.
My pleasure.
You for your time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Katie Day and Creating Ripples. Listen in and be part of the revolution that is rocking the world. Women over 50 are the new future. We are awesome, fearless, fabulous, inspiring, passionate, courageous. In fact, we just rock.